And we're here on the K&M Podcast. Kim Brown from WGI Radio. Mike O'Hara, Lions aficionado. Nick Roddy, the newest member of the cast. Hello, guys.
Wait a minute. He was there 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, but then, but of course, he couldn't do 2 weeks in a row yet. You know how the younger
generation. You got to change up the days on me.
You know how the younger generation is. The younger generation, they can't work 3 days in a row.
So, how long did you rest after that? A week?
Well, welcome back, Nick, from your week off. Matter of fact, I blame you for the loss, Nick. You were gone, they lose. You come back, they win. So, Nick Roddy, the three of us together is the glue that holds this team together, evidently, after yesterday's lackluster 20-13 victory over the Arizona Cardinals. And I say lackluster because I didn't get a good feel from the game yesterday. I don't know how you guys did, but a win is a win. Now, before I start picking this game apart, a win is a win. A win on the road is a double win. But I was not impressed with yesterday's performance. Gentlemen.
Well, I don't know if it was a pure domination by the Detroit Lions, but there was no doubt which was the better team. I thought they showed that right from the beginning. They kind of sputtered a little bit, couldn't score anymore. But then right there at the end, on 3rd and 12, Derek goes 17 yards around right end for a first down to seal it away. I thought that was a good performance.
I don't know how, Roddy, you would call that run sealing. I guess he ran. I guess you could call it run.
I mean, they set up the play all game. They were doing that kind of double motion and doing the hard play action. And then, it kind of backfired a couple times on some plays, especially that kind of double reverse they ran earlier. But they set it up perfectly.
Well, I'm just talking about the speed of it. I guess you could call it a run.
Yeah, I mean,
it was more
one,
like a warm trot.
No one even,
it was more like a warm trot around in for 16.
That's all he needed.
And luckily a linebacker was on him because that guy dove at his legs and missed him. But that was a good call. Even if they wouldn't have got that play and had to punt, they weren't losing that game. Now, there were some problems. Again, the third quarter of this team, I don't know what they do at halftime offensively, but they are terrible coming out, and this is a problem from last year. And over the offseason, I had Ben Johnson on one of the pressers. I think you were there with me, Mike, and I asked him about these third quarter problems, and he said he went back over all the tape and all the things, and he said we got better toward the end than we did at the beginning, and that shouldn't be a problem. Looks like a problem to me, Mike.
Yeah, I would agree with that, and I'm not sure if he meant that it wasn't a problem when he said it shouldn't be a problem, because it is. And that's clear to anybody. It's clear to the coaches, coaching staff, and the offensive coordinator, and the quarterback, and everybody that's gifted with the responsibility to move that football forward. But, yeah, it is a problem, and it's not one that they've cured yet.
Blake, I was saying Blake, who's not here, he just left the room. But I was going to say, Nick, the problem to me, though, is when they come out of halftime, even if they get the ball first or not, I don't think they know what they want to be. I mean, if they have the lead, it seems to me you would come out and want to establish the run more, but they come out and they'll pass a first down or they don't get a good run and then they pass and pass. I just don't know what they want to be coming out of halftime. And I thought going into halftime yesterday – they were effective offensively by the pass mixed in with run. But in the third quarter, they just were shooting themselves in the foot, penalties, and got nasty.
I don't know if you could say they don't know what they want to be as of regarding yesterday's game. I mean, the penalties really threw them back on a couple drives, the false starts and the whole – I mean, there were so many penalties on the Lions that – you knew what they wanted to be. They were just shooting themselves in the foot. I mean, they were dominant running the ball, and they were just going backwards. So with a 2-score lead, I think you kind of have to be a little cautious with your offensive game plan in the second half, especially with the way their defense was playing. So I don't really have a problem with how they called their offense in the second half. They just weren't executing.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with it either. Look, they've said all along they want to be a running team, and they have been for 3 weeks. Well, I can't say that necessarily last week when they threw the ball 55 times, but I think they really want to lead on that running game, and they should. And that's a strong point on that offense.
Well, I'm going to raise a red flag for both of you guys now. Whoop, 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 whoop. When they want to be this running team and they want to cut down on the passes, you're going to have a player like Jameson Williams yesterday that's not getting the ball. Do you think in the future, I'm not saying him every week, but it's going to be somebody that's not getting what they think they should get during a game. Do you think this team is experienced enough, or the guys, these guys are old enough now to accept that, or is this going to be a problem as we go through the season?
Well, I don't see it as a problem.
Well, you don't see it as a problem because you've seen a lot of football. Talking about the young guys out here. I'm asking about them.
No, I don't think so. I don't think they have anything to complain about.
I saw a couple of faces of Jameson Williams yesterday on the sideline and afterwards. I'm just saying what I saw.
You think you're reading a little too much
into
this?
Well, that's what I'm asking. I'm just asking that.
Come on. You're reading what you want to.
No, I'm not.
See, yeah, you've been saying this before the season. You said this 3 weeks ago.
I'm just saying everybody wants to eat. And with this offense, there are going to be people that –
You can say that about every team in the league.
No, I'm going to tell you a perfect example. Gibbs and Montgomery. They never complain if they're not in the game. They never complain if the other guy is doing good.
Williams complained?
No, I'm just saying the body language and the facial stuff. I'm just saying. You never see those two pull for each other. Whoever's doing the best, they don't care what their numbers are. They just, you know, they're a team. I'm just worried that if guys don't get their numbers that they think they should get or get enough targets, will something happen in this season? That's all I'm asking. If you guys say no, I'll just put that in.
When you say something happened, what are you talking about?
A lot of complaining, and it just drags. To me, that drags the team down. And it's happened on other teams. Like, I can even Philadelphia. What was my man named last year that complained all the time? He wasn't getting the ball enough. Their big receiver, the one that came from Tennessee.
A.J. Brown.
He complained, and that tore a team apart. At the end
that
of the year.
That didn't tear the team apart.
I think that's the last part of the season. I think that tore that team apart.
Going back to their offense in the second half. So out of their first three drives, their first drive, they got a first down, and then they had a penalty, false start on Graham Glasgow, moved him back, had to punt. Second drive, the Jared Goff interception. All right, third drive.
Stop right there. Terrible interception.
Yeah, horrible.
Put an adjective on it.
All right,
next.
But we're not talking about that.
Dicks.
So their next drive, six plays, 42 yards, another penalty, and an injury to Sam LaPorta. No, actually, that was the fourth.
That was on the touchdown.
There was no penalty on this drive. This was the third drive of the second half. This was turnover on downs. They won for it on fourth down. David Montgomery stuffed up the middle.
Well, stop right there. Terrible play call by Ben Johnson.
Okay, but they had gained 40 yards on the drive.
Okay, but wait a minute. Hold on. This is what I'm talking about, third quarter problem. Why would you run that type of play, rush to the line? You got Montgomery wasn't in the backfield. He was like in an offset backfield. Yeah. And you rush the play. And even on the air, Lomas and Dan were saying, you want to let those linemen get set a second or two before you rush into that play.
They caught him sleeping a couple times.
But why are you doing that? You're running. You're superior running the team. You're going to get a yard. Just run a normal play. Ben Johnson trying to be too cute. Continue.
All right. And then the next drive, Jared Goff sack on a three-man pressure on a five-man offensive line, and then another penalty. So they moved the ball. They just shot themselves in
opportune
the foot.
Plays.
Yeah.
But that's part of
two
the third
two drives stalled due to penalty.
An opportune play.
Turnover on downs and an interception.
Right. Now, I don't know if that was the third or fourth quarter. It was a one where I think Glasgow got a formation penalty when it was fourth and one or something, or third and one. They had to go back to third and five.
Yeah, that was third the first
and
six. Drive.
And then they didn't get anything. Yeah. And that was a clear first. It wasn't even a yard. It was like a damn foot. And I think that.
So, can you really complain that they weren't really moving the ball in the second half?
I didn't say the ball. I said they're not scoring. That is the problem.
The game is the score. Yeah.
But
they scored zero.
Scoring's down in the league so far this year. So, maybe this is a product of whatever. I'm just saying the Lions got to clean that sloppiness up. And it's early. I'm not pushing panic buttons yet. But this team, right now, this is a defensive team. It's not an offensive team. Can I get an agreement on that?
I think the strength of the team has been the running game and the defense. That those are the two elements that have been the strongest.
If you had to pick one right now,
Well, first of all, I don't have to pick one.
Yes, you do, because I'm forcing you right now to pick one. I am forcing you right now to pick one, either running or defense. Which is the number one strength of this team right now?
I'd say mostly because this is the way they play football these days in the National Football League. If you can play defense, you can win. And I think the Detroit Lions, right at this moment, are primarily a defensive-oriented team.
Okay, see, as a writer, you use 15 paragraphs to say just say defense. And you agree with me. Thank you very much. You agree with me. It's a defensive team right now.
You didn't invent defense. Come
on. You're a defensive. Let me give you some stats. The DVOA numbers. Special teams, they're fifth ranked right now. Defense, yeah. They're ninth ranked. And on offense, they're 12th. And not bad for, to me, a underachieving offense so far to be 12th. I think that's pretty good so far. And I know it'll get better, or it should get better. So I'm not even worried about that part. But the defense, number nine, if they can stay as a top 10 defense this year, they're going to go a long way.
No, I agree with that. But also with defense, you know, a lot of that, though, is opportunity and when you make the big plays. It's not just the numbers that you end up with at the end of the game. It's the plays you make that influence the outcome of the game. And I think the Lions have been stronger at that than they are just in the pure numbers.
Go ahead, Nick. You were about to say so. I see.
I mean, you look at you mentioned special teams. Yeah. Jack Fox should have gotten a game ball yesterday.
Bingo. Yep,
I mean, these were where his punts landed. One was a touchback. His other four punts, 2-yard line, 12-yard line, 9-yard line, and 6-yard line. Four punts inside the 12. I mean, that's where you won the game right there. And so Dave Campbell said it in the locker room after the game. It was a field position game, and Jack Fox was one of their best players.
So special teams will get an A from you from yesterday.
Yeah.
No!
Well, except for Jake Bates.
Okay, that's what I'm about to get to. The game would have been a 2-touchdown score game at the end if it wasn't for Jake Bates missing an extra point. And nobody said anything because they won. But, look, keep an eye on that.
Extra points. I mean, Harrison Butker missed an extra point last night, and that was a one-score game because of that. So, I mean, I don't
think Harrison Butler has a track record.
Okay.
Jake Bates was missing.
Who you going to sign that has a track record?
He was missing extra points in preseason.
All right. Who are you going to sign that has a track record?
I'm not saying get rid of him. I'm saying right now we got away with that one yesterday. But if a game comes back to that one possession game where it's 3-tie, but if you're up by 4, they got to go for a touchdown, that changes the game around. He got to make those.
Yeah.
Extra points, of course.
Keep an eye on him. He's on my secret probation list. Now,
the secret's out.
Now, something that came out, I told you guys last week, I didn't tell you, Nick, because you took off last week, but I told you, Michael Hare, last week that when you go to Arizona, funny stuff happens. Didn't I tell you that all the time? Remember, they had a tie out there. One time, Drew Stanton killed us out there. It's always something funny going on out there. What was his name? Miscounted on a 2-point conversion, the coach.
Well, you're talking about Bobby Ross.
Bobby Ross, all that stuff. A lot of crazy stuff happened out there.
30 years.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, a lot of crazy stuff happened yesterday. The thing that happened yesterday crazy to me was injuries. It started like the first snap of the game when Skipper gets hurt, even though he comes back in. A lot of injuries yesterday, and we had some serious, well, I don't know if they're serious yet, but it looks like going to be a few more than 1 week injuries. Aleem McNeil and Derek Barnes were the two that everybody's worried about, even though I'm worried about Brian Branch at the end of the game. Even though they said he's in from concussion protocol, I just don't like those because usually you miss a week, like Anzalone. You're going to miss a week. And those are injuries that you cannot afford, especially at the safety, because without, we got a rookie back there, and then they got that second-year guy, Joseph, back there, Melifonu, who hasn't played yet. So they're really thin at safety right now, so I'm worried about that part. But what did you think of the injuries yesterday?
Well, I thought one thing that really impressed me was that the first-round draft pick went out with an injury and then came back in. And this is a rookie, came back in. I thought, it seems to me, maybe I'm just making this up like a lot of other people are, that the officials are picking on him. They're watching him more carefully than they do other people. They sort of get together in their meetings and go, now watch it. He gets a lot of penalties. So they add another one onto the stack. But I thought coming back and like the way he did to continue playing showed an awful lot for a rookie.
Just keep doing what he's doing. He's always in right there in coverage. Clean up the little hand stuff. Just keep doing what you're doing. I'm going to tell you what, though. A move, Roddy, I dogged during the offseason. I thought they should have kept that third-round pick and went to the draft to get more players, and they ended up trading to Tampa Bay for the other cornerback.
Oh, yeah.
I'm Davis. Backing off that. Davis, I'm telling you right now, what a good pickup, even though he might only be here a year. Carlton Davis plays some good football.
No, absolutely. And he plays with power and strength, and that's what I like about him.
And he's the guy who made the tackle on that, was it the fourth down?
The fourth down attempt by Kyler Murray. And he made another play during the game, too, tackle on a run, And he got a penalty that was hugged up with Marvin Harrison Jr., but they were, like, right there together. I was impressed more that they let Terrion Arnold take Marvin Harrison with little – they probably had safety over the top. I didn't see it. But just the fact that they were comfortable with him in coverage on Marvin Harrison, I thought that says a lot about Terrion Arnold.
Yeah, I mean, they did well on Marvin Harrison. He had the one touchdown, five catches, 64 yards on 11 targets. I mean,
I know one person that wasn't impressed with Marvin Harrison Jr.
Who's that?
Who's that?
You!
I said I thought he lacked speed. I thought he was going to be faster than that.
Right. I'm saying you weren't that
impressed. He's bigger than I thought, though.
Yeah,
I mean,
he's bigger.
He's bigger than I thought.
He's bigger.
How have we gone this whole time and not talked about the offensive line, though? I mean, they were carrying David Montgomery in the air in the fourth quarter. Their performance was incredible.
I put it at like a B.
What?
I thought that there were times the inside pressure was getting to golf, and I just thought that inside needs to be worked on. Last week they didn't have a good game. They had a better game this week, a B game, a good game. But I think it's so much more left on that offensive line. Maybe if you start running the ball more like they did this week, they'll get in sequence. But you got to remember – Glasgow's moved to the other side. They got a new guy, right guard, Zeidler. And they got – it takes time to get the cohesion together. But I think they're coming along fine. I just thought there were some plays that I wish they probably had back.
Yeah, I'm sure there's going to be plays that everyone wants to have
back. Oh, everybody applaud right now. Marvin Davenport didn't get hurt this game. Marcus Davenport did not get hurt.
Well, he could always get hurt during
out,
the week.
He went out for a second, but he came back. So he's played exactly one game now without getting hurt. All right, there we go. Mike don't like when I talk about
his penalty. You forgot his penalty. Come on.
Well, you got a penalty, but you got a play to get a penalty.
Okay, the worst penalty of the game was Jalen Reeves-Maybin.
Yes, that was the worst.
Come on.
That was the worst. That was the worst.
Captain doing that, too.
And for what reason? I still don't know why you even did. The guy's down. You're rolling over his back. What are you doing? You're not getting anything. You're not going to knock the ball. I don't know, but – He was just happy to be in the game. Hey, I'll tell you another – he's just happy to be here. I'll tell you another thing I saw. Where is this at on my list? Oh, Josh Pascal. I don't think that was a penalty. Did you see the roughing the passer?
Yeah, I did.
It looked like a good one-step hit to me. But, you know
– It was like the one we were just talking to before. There was no reason for it.
Yeah.
Didn't have to have it.
Now, I got another thing. We're going to talk about the defensive line because McNeil's probably going to be gone in a couple of weeks, the way they are talking. We'll find out more today. Have you guys noticed that Wingo is getting a lot of snaps on the defensive line? And he's also doing he's getting a lot of pressure. And this is 2 weeks in a row. I've noticed him out there for a six-round pick. Nobody's talking about that right now. But, Mike, I think this kid is going to produce a lot this year.
Well, you never know where they're going to come from, the players, and at this stage, three games into the season, he's one of the guys who's rising. There's no doubt about it.
If I would have told you, Roddy, at the beginning of the season that he would be playing more than James Houston, would you have believed it?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, James Houston, was in. I mean, kind of on the roster bubble for most of the summer.
But wouldn't you think he'd at least be active?
Wingo was a highly touted college prospect.
But still, just as a rookie, undersized kind of guy to actually get snaps in and rotate. He's not getting like end-of-the-game snaps. He's getting good rotation snaps and producing.
Yeah.
For a six-round pick, you got to give Brad Holmes credit.
I'm surprised that he's producing, yes. I'll
give Brad Holmes credit for that one. People said it at the time when they picked him. And I know I'm talking too much now. Next week, he probably won't get a snap. But I'm just saying – I'm really impressed with a six-round pick playing like that, Mike.
No, I agree with you, but I'm not surprised what's happened to Houston. You know, he didn't have much of a run last year. He was hurt most of the year, and he just doesn't seem to fit right now.
Can we talk about the most overrated storyline from the offseason and how it's looking right now? The third wide receiver battle.
I was just about to get to that.
I mean, do we need a third wide receiver on this
Mike,
team?
Mike, get him. Get him. Because Mike had this talk last night. Get him, Mike.
What would this third wide receiver be saying? If you're saying Jameson Williams is complaining about lack of targets, what does a third wide receiver need to do
on this team?
Well, first of all, I don't think the guys are complaining about us. They're too young for that right
now. Yeah, I'm with you, Mike.
Let that come later on. And but I don't think they have a true third wide receiver. I think it would add something to the offense if they had one. They brought some guys in, there's really been nobody who stood out as a third receiver. They might have one thing on their set that they're tall, that they're fast, that they're this or that, but they haven't played. They haven't done anything. I think they need one more receiver to fill that role.
I like the guy from.
I think it would help.
You don't like the guy from Denver? Give me his name.
Tim Patrick.
Tim Patrick.
Got to play, Kenny.
you can't do that until you put him out there. I thought
he had a
catch yesterday. I remember he had one yesterday.
I saw it.
I saw yesterday's catch, but I just like the way he looks out there, size wise. That's the kind of guy you need. I don't think Allen Robinson got any snaps yesterday. Let me look at it. Allen Robinson did not. Nope. Did not get any snaps.
He had one snap on offense.
Did he have one on offense? Yep. Okay, he got one snap. I think that. Over the time period, Tim Patrick will be the third guy you're talking about, and he'll take guys in the red zone. He'll be very helpful, Mike. Just take your time with the guy. Just getting there.
Well, I certainly don't quite have the authority to cut him, so I'll just sit here and watch him.
No, I mean, in the red zone, if you're going to Tim Patrick, I think you're going the wrong way.
Well,
you need to be going to David Montgomery. You need to be going to Sam Laporta.
Right, but not going to him, but he's still.
That St. Brown touchdown, I mean, that's what you got to do, too.
I'm just saying you might not go to him all the time, but he'll take that safety and he'll take that corner if you send him over to the corner. So there's a place for a big receiver in the red zone, even if he's not getting the ball. So I'm going to tell you another thing, too. On that touchdown to St. Brown, Gibbs is wide open.
Wait a minute.
Yes, he is. Go back and look at it.
Oh, I saw it.
Gibbs is wide open.
He's the decoy.
No.
Yeah, he's the guy who's supposed to pull defenders away.
Jared Goff wanted to make sure his man was taken care of.
Come on.
Gibbs was wider open than St. Brown.
He was at the 4-yard line, though.
He was at the 2.
No, he wasn't.
Yes, he was.
Go back and look at it.
There was nobody on him.
St. Brown goes into the end zone. Gibbs is dead.
Nick, I'm with you on this one. I'm with Nick.
Go back. Everybody out there who's listening to this podcast, go look at the play and tell me that Gibbs wasn't more open than Saber.
But
St. Brown's guy was on
the end zone.
He didn't have to be. He would have got the boy walked into the end zone.
Why are we complaining about who scores?
No, I'm just saying. There's a guy wide open, but that was one of them plays where I got to get St. Brown the ball, which is fine. I have no problem with it. As long as you get it to the man on your team, I'm happy with it. I'm just saying.
And then you'd be complaining that he didn't have enough. He doesn't have enough touchdowns or didn't have enough targets.
You never hear me complain about stats, or targets, or catches. I don't even complain about wins and dumb plays. That's my theory, and I think that that's all I complain about. I don't complain about anything else. I'm tell you what though, you guys better start leaving Aaron Glenn alone, because he's playing. This defense has carried this team, and this defense is only going to get better if they don't get hurt, if they don't have injuries.
Well, you're asking a lot to not get injuries, but so far, you know, pretty good. Not perfect, though, in terms of injuries, but so far pretty good.
No. But I just don't understand how Tampa Bay beat you last week and then they go into Denver and get slapped. Arizona scores 41 last week, and then you hold them to 10 points. Could have held them to 7. That 3 you gave them at the end of the half, they shouldn't have got that because of the penalty. That was the penalty mix. It was two big penalties in that drive.
I mean, talk about injuries. You pretty much have two guys on defense that you need to stay healthy. It's Hutchinson and Carlton Davis. I mean, you can't have overwhelming penalties or overwhelming injuries.
I think Brian Branch, you got to keep healthy.
Yeah, I think he's borderline. We'll see. I mean, we'll see how they play against Seattle and if he makes a return.
If Melifano or him, you got to have one of them. That's the whole thing. Because otherwise you're going to be – that Brian Joseph, anybody played in Northwestern, you got a question anyway. But anyway, Brian George, whatever his name is, another Joseph. You got to be careful with that. So those guys are rookies. We'll see. All right. They got an extra day this week, gentlemen. Monday Night Football against those dreaded 3-0 Seattle Seahawks, run by ex-Michigan defensive coordinator Mike McDonald.
a pretty strong football team, though. I wouldn't take them lightly at all.
No, you don't take anybody lightly, because as you see what could happen. But I think this is the best time to play Seattle on a Monday night with that extra day rest. And then you got a bye week right after, so you can just go all out for it. The thing that I know is going to happen, I think we'll be seeing the black unis this week, Roddy.
Ooh, okay.
We saw the white ones yesterday.
All right.
I like that mix yesterday, all black uniforms against all white uniforms. That was pretty cool yesterday. But I think the black uniforms are going to be coming out. This is how you know people. Kim Brown will give you a little inside tip. If during the practice this week, when you see the pictures on DetroitLions.com of the practices, if they're practicing in the blue helmets, the new helmets, then they're going to wear the new unis this week. That's how you'll know.
With the blue helmets, they will be.
Well, they always practice, you know, to get to wear the helmets. They, you know, they practice the same week with them so they can get used to wearing them. And if they're going to wear the new unis, those new helmets go with them, so they'll be practicing in the new helmets.
Well, how hard is it to get used to wearing the helmet? I mean, guys, put them on your head.
Should just be a different color.
You know how they got to mesh to the heads and everything. You know how they got to wear them.
Okay.
Look, you act like you ain't been on a football field in years. You know how it works.
No, it's only been a couple of weeks.
You know how it works.
A few weeks. Yeah, I'm with you.
All right, well, that's the wrap today. The Lions 2-1. Any last words on where you think they are? Are they behind where you thought they'd be now, ahead of where you thought they'd be, or right where you thought they'd be? And then we'll head off this week. Gentlemen?
Right. I think they should be 3-0, but they're not. But when I say that, score is what you get, and you deserve what you get in the National Football League. But I think they've done enough good things to show that this is, you know, last year was no fluke. If they stay reasonably healthy, I think that they're going to be a team that's in the playoffs again and make another run.
Roddy, right where they are?
I think they're right about where I thought they'd be. I mean, you had the two revenge games from the playoffs. I thought they'd lose one of them, and they lost the ones to the Bucs, who – We didn't talk about them yesterday. Oof. That was,
I just talked about them. Oh, okay. I went to Denver and got slapped around.
Yeah. Well, I think they'll be 3-1 come after Monday night. I think Seattle hasn't really beaten anybody.
It doesn't matter if Seattle beat the world beaters. I think they're going to win a home game, Monday night game, crowd there. I think offensively they're not where I thought they would be. Defensively they're way ahead of where I thought they would be. Overall, I think they're right around where I thought they'd be. So – just keep going. Like I said, the only thing in this league I worry about is injuries. And as long as we can get some of these guys back and keep relatively healthy, this team is going. Minnesota, though.
Yeah.
3-0. Green Bay with Willis, Malik Willis, who was a throwaway, wins two games. I mean, so this league, you never know from week to week what you're going to get. The Chicago Bears, who everybody thought was going to be. I saw some teams talking about they were going to the NFC Championship game. Can't win a game. 0-3.
I'm not surprised by that.
Well, they're 1-2.
Did they win a game? They won that. That's right. That's right. Tennessee. Should be 0-3. I forgot Tennessee gave them a game. Justin Fields has never won three games in a row in his life. He goes to Pittsburgh and they win their first three. It's just. This is football. This is weird, man. This is how it works. So.
Just goes to show me I'd rather be in Pittsburgh than in Chicago.
I said all the time, I'd rather they should have took that pick and kept Justin Field and built the rest of the team up. But, you know, you don't have to listen to me. The Lions have always had problems.
They wouldn't be winning with him either. I mean,
Yeah, but the Lions have always had problems with Justin Fields. I'm not a big Caleb Williams fan. I think all that running around stuff is for college. We'll see. We'll see how it works. All right, gentlemen, good job today. We'll be joining us at the end of the week when we'll be doing our – pick for the week, and have a good week, Mike O'Hara.
Thank you for wishing me well, finally.
Nick Roddy, have a good week, and we're actually working again this week, Nick, so don't take off again.
All right, I'll take next week off.
All right, that's been the Cannon Podcast. We're out.